Church, say amen. Amen. God has been good to us once again. God is always good to us, but it's good when we can stand up or we can lift our voices and say that God is good. All the time. And all the time, God is good. This morning, it's so good to see each and every one of you. We want to thank the Lord just for everything He does for us. Brother Bell mentioned the little things that we sometimes take for granted when he was up here praying. And we need to stop taking things for granted because we live in dangerous times. And nothing should be taken for granted because every time you get up, you need to thank the Lord. Every time you sit down, you need to thank the Lord. Every time you sit down for a bite to eat, you need to thank the Lord. And every day that you go outside of your house, make sure you ask the Lord to go with you. Because God can watch over us when we can't see for ourselves. So let us be thankful and ever thankful to Him forevermore. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the third chapter of the book of Revelation. And the Bible says, starting at verse number 20, I'll reread it once again. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." That's from Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 and verse 22. This morning we're going to talk about something that we need to keep in mind, something that we always need to remember. And that is Jesus is a friend, but now in this particular scripture, He's a friend that's knocking at our heart, the door of our hearts. Let us go to God in prayer, if you will. Dear Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, we have been blessed, O Lord, and we want to thank You for blessing us with the ability that You gave us to get up this morning, to come out and to serve Thee in spirit and in truth. We thank You for the local congregation here of the Church of Christ, but we're praying for all of those who are spreading the word under the banner of truth. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, for each and every member here today. We thank You for the leadership here. We thank You for those brothers who have been serving the worship service, and as well as those who shall come from this point on. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, and we pray. We pray for those who have lost loved ones. We pray for those who are not able to be with us. We pray that they can be with us at the next appointed time. We thank You so much, Father, for sending Jesus to hang, bleed, and die on yonder's cross. We thank You, O Lord, for all that You do for us and all the things that You shall continue to do for us, O Lord. Thank You for giving us a doorway to heaven, O Lord, if we just would walk through it. It's up to us, O Lord, for You are willing to save us, but it's sometimes us that don't want to walk through that door. Thank You, Lord, for everything in the name of Your Son, Jesus, who hung, bled, and died on yonder's cross. For this we are eternally grateful, and we thank You, Lord, in the name of Him that sits on the right hand of the Heavenly Father, and to the Heavenly Father, we thank You and ask it all. Amen. This morning, the Williams are not here this morning because they have lost an uncle, and they will not be here over next Sunday as well, because they are going to be going down to funeralize their uncle down in Tennessee. So let us remember all of those who have lost loved ones, but in particular, the Williams family. With that, how many times has someone unexpectedly dropped by your house, knocked at your door. Maybe it was a salesperson. Maybe a candidate for political office, just like came by my house the other day. Or perhaps it was someone simply trying to find out if you're at home or not. Today, the knock that I speak of should be a pleasure to answer. The door I speak of is the door to your heart. Therefore, it is a personal knock. So the question of the day is, how will you respond? Some may ignore it. Some may choose to pretend it didn't happen. Many may simply just hope it goes away. Nevertheless, when a friend knocks, one should be happy to answer the door. And Jesus is a friend. So when we look at our text for today, we think about a few things. We think in our minds how that Jesus is knocking at the door of our hearts. Look at verse number 20. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." If we were told to expect someone of great power, of great wealth, great fortune, or great fame, as we look toward fame in this world today, that someone would knock on our door. Most of us would be hoping that that knock comes very soon. Well, Jesus is coming soon, and He's given us the opportunity to prepare our hearts and our minds. There's no one more powerful than God and His Word. According to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12, the Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. His Word can cut through our deepest thoughts and the intent of our heart. And the heart is the very place this knock that Jesus is knocking is where it's coming from, our heart, is where it's at in our heart. Just how can the heart hear the knock? You say to yourself, well, first of all, let me clarify something. The heart that I speak of is not the heart that beats in your chest. That's not the heart I'm talking about. The heart that I speak of is the heart of the mind that God gave us, the soul of that we can learn to listen to our hearts and accept the things that we have been told or that we feel and know in our hearts. Our heart is the place that this knock comes. How can the heart hear the knock? Because the heart hears what our ears can't hear. Mary in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 51, remember what Jesus said in her heart. In Luke chapter 16 and verse number 15, God knoweth the heart. God knoweth our heart. So the question becomes, why should we trust the Lord? And I'll tell you why. Because He knows our hearts. Because the Bible tells us so in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 23. Look what the Bible says. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 23. All the churches. We'll skip that one. All the churches shall know that I am He that searches the reins and hearts, and I will give unto everyone of you according to your words. God knows the workings of our heart, their design, their temper, their attitudes, and the secrets of our heart. Therefore, this lets us to know that He knows our very thoughts. He knows us very well. He knows how we perform and how we act and our attitude. And He knows how to get our attention. That's the most important part that we need to understand. God knows how to get our attention. You see, for some of us, we think that God doesn't see us. We think that God doesn't know us. But I'm here to tell you, God knows how to get your attention when He needs your attention. God knows just what to do with us when we don't want to hear Him. He knows how to make us listen. God knows the working of our heart, as I said. He knows its design. Sometimes He gets us through sickness. Sometimes He gets us through disappointment. And sometimes it's through our consciousness. We can keep secrets from one another. But God knows our hearts. He knows who has a sincere heart. He knows also who is playing church. So if you're just pretending to be in church, just pretending I love going to church, just pretending I know the thoughts of, I know what church is all about, God knows whether you're playing or not. He knows what we need when we don't even know what we need. In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 27, he that searches the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. Jesus works between man and God, so he knows what's in our hearts. It's usually good to answer when a friend knocks at our door, so it should not be any problem if Jesus is knocking at your door seeking to enter. Look at the text again. Verse number 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Jesus is asking you, us, to allow him to come in. He is knocking. But just what kind of knock is this? Well, it's a knock with a promise. All we have to do is open the door and Jesus will not force himself on us. He will not force himself to get in to our hearts. When you read that text in verse number 20, if you open the door, he says, I will come in to him. That's the promise Jesus is offering to all who let him in. Notice, if you will, an example of how to open the door. In Luke 23 and verse number 2, where one of the men on the cross next to Jesus said, Lord, remember me when thou come into thy kingdom. While his disciples had deserted him, here was one who asked the Lord to remember him. Just ask God that his mercy to come upon him. And you should ask the same. And again in Luke chapter 18, verse number 13, the publican also asked for mercy in his humble way. Not proud, not boastful, but in a humble manner. Do you remember in John chapter 4, around about verse number 9, when the Samaritan woman came to draw water from Jacob's well? But during the course of getting water, she had a conversation with Jesus. Now, of whom she considered was to be an enemy of the Samaritan. The Jews were considered to be an enemy of the Samaritan. But her conversation quickly came to become a friendly conversation. You know why? Because he gave her the truth about herself. She opened the door of her heart to hear what Jesus had to say. And then in verse number 15, she asked Jesus to give her some of the living water that Jesus had told her about. He called it the living water, then that she would never thirst again. That is the water of everlasting life. When we open our hearts and allow Jesus in, we can ask this question that Saul asked. Lord, what will thou have me to do? You know, a lot of folk, even Christian folk, don't understand what the Lord expects of them before they become a Christian. Before they become Christians, I should say. They don't understand what the Lord expects of them. The Lord wants us, once we have allowed him into our heart, once we hear the call of the Lord in our hearts, we need to understand just what the Lord is asking of us. He is asking of us to allow him to come in. In verse number 20, once again, it says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. He's trying to form a relationship with us. And we need to open the door and let him into our hearts. Jesus is the kind of friend that will answer all of our questions dealing with life, death, and everlasting life. He answers us through His Word, the Bible. If you ever have a question about life, it's in the Bible. If you ever have a question about eternal life, it's in the Bible. If you've got a question about everlasting life, it's in the Word of God. He answers everything through His Word. Jesus is not only a friend when we are in need, but He's a friend throughout eternity. So it is also a knock with a purpose or with purpose. Whenever we have a conversation with anyone, there should be a purpose for it. According to our text, Jesus is seeking entrance to our heart in chapter 3 and verse number 20 there. The purpose on this account is that Jesus wants us to open up to Him. He said, I will come in and sup with Him. So the question becomes, who, Lord, are you talking about? And He said, any man, if any man who hears my voice, he will come in and sup with Him. Sup means a relationship or a fellowship. And Jesus is saying, I not only want to be your Savior, but I want to be your personal Lord and your friend. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 24, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Jesus is a friend who is there from the beginning until the end to all believers. Therefore, all we need to do is to show ourselves friendly unto Him. Jesus can do for us what no other can. Jesus can do for us what nobody on this earth can do for us. He can save us. He can hear us when we pray. He can comfort us. He can walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death, according to Psalms, the 23rd Psalm. He can supply all of our needs, according to Philippians 4 and verse number 19. All we have to do is open the door and let Him in. So somebody might say, well, preacher, just how do we open the door? If He's knocking, can't He just push the door open? No, the handle to the door is on our side. The handle to the door is on our side, and we must open the door in order to let Him in. And you know something? When somebody knocks on your physical door, we have to go to the door and we have to unlock the door and let them in. Isn't that correct? When Jesus is not knocking on your physical door, He's knocking on the door to your heart. And He's asking you, let me in and I'll sup with you. And if any man, I'll sup with him and he with me. Then in verse number 21, look what the Bible says. In verse number 21, the Bible says, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. So Jesus wants to make this available to all of us as well. This is the most important knock we will ever receive, and the response can mean a matter of life and death. The knock of Jesus is a knock of power, a knock with promise, and a knock of purpose. So the question becomes to all of us this morning, will you heed the knock? Will you heed the knock? How can I heed the knock from Jesus? Well, you can allow Jesus to enter into your heart. You can allow Jesus to become a part of, you can allow yourself to form a relationship with the Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father. When you think about it, if I came and knocked on your door and you knew me, you would probably let me in. You don't know my intent, but you would probably allow me to enter in. So when you think about it, you know the intent of Jesus already, because it's all throughout the Bible what Jesus' intent is toward mankind. You know what Jesus means to mankind. You know what His purpose is. You know what, but He has a promise. He said in verse number 20 again, He said, I will come in and will sup with Him and He with me. So when you hear a knock at your door, and you go to the door, and you look out your window, and you see it's someone you know, you're more likely to open the door. Well, you all know Jesus. We should know Him if we don't know Him. We shouldn't mind allowing Him to come in. We shouldn't mind allowing Him to come in into our heart. But look at verse number 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. When you think about it, he that overcometh the temptations of life, he will grant to those to sit down with him in his Father, in his throne, next to his Father, on his Father's throne. Believe on Jesus in this life in order to sit with Him in the afterlife. What an invitation and a purpose Jesus has offered for us, allowing Him entrance into our heart. Now when you think about it just for a few minutes, I got a few minutes, just when you think about it for a few moments, you ask yourself this question. If I don't know Jesus, what do I need to do to come to know Jesus? Well, it's very simple. You need to put Him on. You need to put Him on through baptism. You need to meet Jesus. And sometimes, for a person who's been out in the world, it's difficult for them to understand how we meet Jesus. You know, I speak of some personal experiences from many years back. I was talking to my grandmother, and my grandmother said the biggest object she had to becoming a member of the Lord's body was the fact that I already been baptized. She was in her 80s now. She said, I've already been baptized. She said, I don't understand why I need to be baptized again. And I had to explain a little bit, and I'm not going to go into everything I explained to her, but I wrapped it up by saying to her that you couldn't believe wrong and be baptized right. You've got to believe right in order to be baptized right. You see, when we come to Christ, we ought to have in mind why we're coming to Christ. We're coming to Christ to be washed of our sins, for the remission of our sins, in other words. And so I asked us this question this morning. If you haven't been baptized right, are you right in the church? Are you right with your beliefs if you were not baptized right? There are many folks that believe so many different things today. When we think about it, we look at the world and its condition. And when we think about the world and the condition that it's in, how could you but not seek the right way? You know, there are some folks today, well, they usually come to your house every Saturday morning. They got some different beliefs, but yet they think that they are right. Don't they, church? You know who I'm talking about. They've been to your door. But the Bible says that if Jesus says that if any man allow him to enter into his heart as he comes to the door and knock, he says, I will sup with him and he with me. Now, I don't know about you, but a relationship with the Lord is probably the most important relationship you'll ever have. And when you think about it, you need this relationship for when your life comes to an end and you go to the judgment. And you can't wait until you get to the judgment to ask for this intervention by Jesus. You know, you already should have been through this intervention with Jesus. You know, Jesus is standing at the door and knocking. And all he's asking is that you let him in. Now, in order to let him in, you have to make some admissions. You have to make some admissions. You have to admit that Jesus is the Son of the living God. You have to believe in Him. You have to hear the gospel, believe in Him, repent of your past sins, confess Christ to be the Son of the living God, and then be baptized in the watery grave of baptism. But I'm going to ask you one question this morning. And that one question is this. This is the question that Brother Jackson will ask you if he takes you in the water. He'll ask you that do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? And if you make that confession, He'll baptize you. But you know, you have to admit to that before you get to the water. You should admit to that long before you get to the water. You have to ask yourself a question, another question, and another question, and another question, and another question, ask the question of life itself. What do you want to spend your eternity? What do you want to live in the afterlife? And I got news for you. You may not think that the afterlife is coming, but it is. We're all going to die. And if you think that you're going to live forever, and I got news for you. You know, I talk about it a lot. I talk about how when we age, things start to happen to us. And if you think you're going to live forever, I got some more news for you. You're not. You can die and then live again, but you're not going to live in this physical body forever. And I thank God for that. I thank God that I won't live in this physical body forever, because you know why? Because at some point in time, things are going to stop operating. The reach and the fingers are not going to allow you to pick up even a piece of cloth. When things start to happen in this life, when things start to happen to our mortal body, we need to know Jesus Christ. How many times have you heard somebody say, "Lord, help me. I never called the name before, but now all of a sudden I want the Lord to help me. Lord, help me. If you just help me to get through this physical problem that I'm going through right now, Lord, I'll do this and Lord, I'll do that." How many times have people forgotten that promise that they made to the Lord? Soon as they get better, they forget about it. Soon as they get over the situation that they're in. But the Bible tells us that Jesus is standing at the door and knocking, and that if you'll let Him in, He'll come in with us. And then He promised a little further. He said, "Then you will sit with me in my throne. You will overcome. If you have overcome, you will be allowed to sit with Him in His throne, on His throne." Now I ask you to make a decision this morning. I ask you to accept the knock that Jesus is knocking at your heart's door. Or I ask you, do you want to just let Him keep knocking? Because at some point in time, Jesus may decide to go away. Just give you up. Think about it. I've already went through the steps of how you become a member of the Lord's body. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and then be baptized. And by the way, let me correct my mistake that I made up there. I said Revelations 2 and 23. I made a mistake. I'll correct it. So I know I did, but I'll correct it. I have to go back in my notes and see what I put down there for it. But don't hold it against me. I meant well. I just didn't come out. It didn't come out well. And any of us are capable of making mistakes. If you don't think you've made a mistake, just go back through your life. So I'll get that correct and I'll tell you what I really meant. So as we consider allowing God to enter into our hearts, and if you want to know again how, you just need to ask God. If you're already a member of the Lord's body, you need to ask God to forgive you if you've been walking astray. Ask Him, let Him know that I'm ready to come home. Just like the prodigal son came home, we can come back home. If you haven't gotten to that, if you are not a member of the Lord's body, I've given you the steps to become a member of the Lord's body as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.